A reading from Matthew 27, the story of the crucifixion. Then Pilate released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. We'll let him come down now from the cross, and then we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. We'll let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be God.
Well, there's an obvious question that I'd just like us to focus on here a moment tonight. How did this centurion see what he saw? How is it that while the disciples fled and everyone mocked and hurled insults here at Jesus, this soldier saw and believed that he was really God's son? Pretty profound testimony, if you think about it, at a moment like this, especially on the lips of this hardened soldier, this pagan commander, this Gentile. What possessed him to say it? Was it Jesus' loud cries, the curtain being torn, the unnatural darkness there, or the earthquakes that Matthew mentions? It may have been all those things, but Mark simply says he knew it when he saw how Jesus died. So how did Jesus die? Well, on a cross, of course. We all know what crosses are, or at least we think we do most of the time. We see them everywhere today, from jewelry to art in our culture. But what we generally don't see when we look at the cross is what the centurion saw, all the blood and the gore, the shame and the suffering, the scorn and the mockery and the death. The cross was a torture instrument, the ghastliest part of his job. Some have compared it to a gallows or a lethal injection or even an electric chair today. But you know, none of those instruments is quite the same as a cross. Because the cross was designed not simply to strip a man of his life, but to strip him of every last shred of his dignity, his sense of worth. It was meant to break him, and not just in body, but in spirit as well. And no doubt the centurion knew this. In all likelihood, he had presided over dozens of crucifixions before. He'd seen proud men beg for mercy, righteous men reveal their wretchedness within. And he was a hard man. You had to be for this job. He had his orders, and he followed them. It wasn't his to decide who was guilty, who was innocent. But at least on some level, everyone was guilty. He saw some evil in them. But then there was this Jesus, and well, he was different. There was just something unique here about him. The more he suffered, the more selfless and the more dignified he seemed. Of all the men he crucified, the centurion could just sense it. This man didn't deserve it. This man had a dignity that was just out of this world. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Dignity. I've been rereading a book recently called Unbroken. There's actually a movie that was made on it too. It's a story of Louis Zamperini, a man who survived some of the worst of sufferings back in World War II. Forced to set aside his dreams as an Olympic runner, Louis was drafted into the Air Force, and they sent him across over the Pacific to drop bombs on the Japanese. So one day, his plane crashed into the ocean, drowning most of his crew. Louis and two others survived, though, drifting in a life raft there for 47 days, with only rain showers to drink and some birds to strangle for their food. But even after battling through shark attacks and storms, they finally reached land, and their suffering there, well, it only got worse. They were captured by the Japanese and tortured, treated as less than human. It's not an easy read, but let me read to you just one paragraph by the author Lauren Hillebrand that she wrote. The crash of the Green Hornet had left Louis and Phil in the most desperate physical extremity, without food or water or shelter. But on Kwajalein, the guards sought to deprive them of something that had sustained them, even as all else had been lost: dignity. Dignity is as essential to human life as water or food or oxygen. This self-respect and sense of self-worth, the innermost armament of the soul, lies at the heart of our humanness, and to be deprived of it is to be dehumanized, to be cleaved from or cast below mankind. The men would make foolish efforts to resist simply to preserve it. Dignity meant as much to them there as their health. Without it, they were nothing. They were hopeless. They were lost. But now, it's one thing for a human being to suffer inhumane treatment at the hands of others. But it's quite another thing for God to do so, as he did in Jesus Christ. What an indignity for the Son of God to be tortured, to be mocked, and then to be hung there naked on a cross. But he willingly did that. He gave his dignity to save ours. And that, I think, is what the centurion saw. He was a soldier, right? He knew sacrifice. He was a hard man. He knew strength. But when he saw how Jesus died, his mind just screamed dignity. And the Spirit opened his heart. Surely this man was righteous. Surely this man was unbreakable in his spirit. Surely this man was the Son of God. So what do you see as you look at the cross? Who do you say that Jesus is? There's nothing more important than how we answer that question in our lives. It wasn't the nails that held him there. It was that centurion and those fleeing disciples. And it was you. And it was me. It wasn't nails that held him there. It was love. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that we were there, not just looking on, but in your heart. Thank you for wearing that crown of thorns, that crown of mockery there for us. What a mystery, Lord, your meekness and your majesty, your dignity and your deity. Surely you are worthy of all of our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people say. If you'll rise with me now in body or spirit, we'll sing a song of response. You can already guess it: meekness and majesty.